Thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. All right. Let's open God's precious word to Revelation, the book of Revelation, chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Let's begin with a word of prayer, orient ourselves as to why we got up so early and why we're here, and to worship God and to study His precious word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do consider it a wonderful privilege to use our freedom that we still have in this country to study Your word as we see fit, to worship You as we see fit, Father. And we pray that Your Spirit will open our eyes to truths You would have us to understand. In Christ's name, amen. Now, we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, dealing with church discipline. And this usually centers around moral issues and usually centers around excommunication. So as we go through our journey in church history, want to take a look at our Savior, the head of the church. And we are going to concentrate on a church in Revelation 2, where we learn a great deal about Jesus Christ and the churches from Revelation 2 and 3. Now, what I want you to see here is, let me see if I can get this going here. Now, watch what's going to happen on your map. See there? Oh, look at there. Look at there. Oh, watch now. Wait a minute. There it comes. Boom! Thyatira. All right. That's James Webb learning to work on his computer with maps and things. That's good. But what I want you to see, in this map is, here's Corinth, and that's our current study. And here, of course, is Jerusalem. And these are the seven churches of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. And here's Thyatira. And that's the church that we're dealing with. Now, nearly every one of these churches have a problem. This church right there, Smyrna, is doing it right, and boy, are they paying the price. They are in great suffering. So, gives you an idea of the early church world right in this area here. Then you got all over here in Israel. And so this is the area that we're now talking about. And I'm sorry, James, I told you it'd just be about 10 seconds on all our work. But there we are. So we're going to learn from the head of the church what to do and how he does this in regard to dealing with a problem in the church. And if we wanted to really spend months and months on it, we'd go through every one of these churches and see what he does. But I want to concentrate on one, the Church of Thyatira. Now, we introduced it last Sunday morning. Thyatira means burning incense, aromatic wood, perfume, burden sacrifice. The city was a city of multiple sacrifices. It was on the main Roman road, saturated with ritualism, and this is the area that we're dealing with. Now, the thing about Thyatira is that it has always been a center of trouble. It's been destroyed and rebuilt, and since the time of the rise of Muslims, Christians and Muslims have destroyed and rebuilt this city many times. It's a little, I don't know why certain areas become, we want this. And the Christians, we want this. The Muslims, we want this. I think it's whatever the Christians want, the Muslims want. And so I guess I'm glad Christians don't want Texas, because Muslims would want it. But so now we're dealing with the problem or the cancer of Thyatira. Now you remember in Corinth, the problem is arrogance. That's the problem. The problem is not the incestuous believer. He brings out the problem. The problem is the assembly's arrogance. Well, as we're going to see in Thyatira, the problem is compromise. Compromise with idolatry, and they do this to keep attendance up, keep the money coming in, and this is much like a lot of churches today. And they'll get along with homosexuality, they'll get along with Chrislam, Christ in Muslim, Chrislam, and put the Quran right next to the Bible in their pews, and Mariology. All these things are about money, getting more and more money. And we start out with a description of the head of the church, and I just want to read through it just to remind us the description of Jesus Christ as head of the church. And it starts in verse 18. And to the angel, the messenger of the church, the assembly, ecclesia, in Thyatira, write. Now we have a description of Jesus Christ now given. The Son of God. So this is the first description of him. And we're not going to take time to study it. We studied it in our study on Wednesday evenings. And Kit has a wonderful chart on the Son of God out in the foyer. So we have that. And then it says, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this. So he's the Son of God, has eyes. Now the eyes, the reason the eyes are emphasized, they penetrate. They see, they penetrate. Like a flame of fire, judgment. He sees right through the thoughts and intents of these people. He knows their motivation. And this morning, James and Judith are going to sing a song, Search Me. And God knows the intent of our souls. No matter what we may be doing overtly, He knows what's going on inside. And then thirdly, His feet are like burnished bronze. Now the feet supports the whole body. That's the emphasis of the feet here. Says this, verse 18. To the church, to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are even greater than at first. People, this is wonderful. Wow. Stop right there. Let's go home. You know, put this on my tombstone. Leave it alone. See? This is a great goal. Let's look at it. I know your deeds. The Son of God, who has eyes like the flame of fire, He sees all. He knows everything. Your deeds, your works, ergon, a result of employment, is the way the word is originally come into being. And for the eye that will see is the result of the employment of the Holy Spirit. Everything we do in the Christian realm will be from one of two sources, either the Holy Spirit or the flesh. And you generally, most of the time you can't tell. Is this of the Holy Spirit or is this of the flesh? But Jesus Christ can. Jesus Christ does. He knows. There are many things that should characterize the Christian walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you walk more and more in the Holy Spirit, things should start happening in your life. And it has nothing to do with salvation. It was a horrible, evil doctrine that has just caused a great deal of trouble in churches and seminaries and among Christians, Lordship salvation. People, there's nothing to show whether or not one is saved in Christ. There are things we expect to see if you're walking in the Spirit, but not if one is saved. And people that get involved in that evil, they haven't made the distinction between salvation and spirituality. And there's a big difference in the Word of God. But as you walk in the Holy Spirit, things should start happening in your life. Your prayer life will change. Your witnessing will change. Giving, forgiving, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves. So many things start happening in your life. You don't even try to make them happen. You're just motivated to do them. These are the things that happen when you're walking in the Holy Spirit. The base human example I like to give is, and we'll pick on the man. Man has lots of girlfriends, lots of fun. He has one that likes to go boating with him, one that likes his fast cars, one that likes sports, and he just has a lot of fun in life. And then all of a sudden, pow, he meets one. So he decides, you know what, I'd like to be with her more. Well, just to make my point, Friday night is usually the party date. Well, I don't want to be with her tonight. I want to be with this one. He's not making a decision about that girl. He's making a decision about the one that he wants to be with. But things start happening. He doesn't see that one, and he doesn't see this one very much, and then he doesn't see that one very much. And things, not by a decision about them, it's about the one he wants to be with. So that's the way it is with the Lord and with the walking in the Spirit. Things just start happening. Yesterday I didn't pray. I think I want to pray. I don't know really why, and I really don't know how to pray, but I want to pray. And, well, they take an offering of the church. I want to give. I want to be a part of this. And they just start happening in your life. Well, I want to know more. I want to learn more about the Bible. I want to learn more about the Word of God. These things we expect to see start happening. But there are one or two ways that many of these things can be accomplished, in the flesh or in the Holy Spirit. This is what the book of James and 1 John are about. 1 John is about spiritual love. James is about faith. And they both deal with the manifestation of that love and of that faith. So, now, we haven't been there in a long time, but those of you that were here when we did Revelation, we saw in the church of Ephesus, they had a lot of works. Boy, they were just doing everything. Ephesus had deeds. But people, they were all in the flesh. They did not have spiritual love. They did not have it. So look at verse 19 in chapter 2. I know your deeds, namely your love, your faith, and service, and perseverance. So we have love, faith, service, perseverance. Four things that Christ sees going on in this assembly. Four things we want to see happening in our own life. Spiritual love manifested in personal relationships among the assembly. Continually walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. And then serving one another in love. Persevering in difficult times and tribulations. And that your deeds, okay, ergon, of late, up to the present time, are greater in number than at first. Now, with the church of Thyatira, they are the opposite of the church of Ephesus. They are serving one another with spiritual gifts in the power and leading of the Holy Spirit here in Thyatira. Now we're going to come to the diagnosis, the warning. And here we move into our study in this point. So let's take a look. As this service continues to grow, this is going to give us a severe warning. A severe warning. Phil, you walked in time to get our severe warning. A severe warning. Thought he missed it. Okay. If you're in a local church that is doing things right, people more and more walking in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, manifested in things like love, faith, service, perseverance, all these wonderful things, and your witness is starting to grow strong of Jesus Christ, people, Satan cannot stand this. Now, this is true of a local church in our study, But I want you to understand something. This is true of a marriage. This is true of an individual's life. Individual, by yourself. As you start walking more and more in the Spirit, growing in the Word, serving one another in love, persevering under tribulation, adverse circumstances, Satan can't stand it. Because you're a witness for Christ in this spiritual warfare, and he cannot stand this. And he must do whatever it takes to interfere, to stop it. And he will use whatever scheme he thinks will work. And trust me, if that one doesn't work, he's got more. You might make it through one or two of the battles and say, well, I'm doing good. He'll hit you. He will hit you. So be warned, as an individual or as a church as we have here, you must be warned about Satan's schemes. When a local assembly is doing more and more things right, Satan cannot stand it and he must stop. So Revelation 2:19, but now with the problem. This is a wonderful assembly characterized by the love of Christ, but there's a cancer growing in this assembly. How could this happen? How could there be a cancer here? How can a church that is doing right, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit by faith, serving one another in love, how can anything go wrong? Aren't these things going to build a protection against any kind of problem? Okay, look at Galatians chapter 5 a moment, please. Look at Galatians 5. We're in the midst of studying church discipline. And you have to realize problems are going to occur if the church is doing right. Especially if it's doing right. So, you're going along right. How could these things happen? All right, let's look at Galatians 5, verse 7. You, in the plural, local assembly, were running well as an assembly. This is exactly what's happening in Thyatira. They were running well according to what pleases God. Walking by faith. That's running well. That word well, according to what? See, somebody in a track meet, got a watch, and this little guy on the track team, he runs it, and you go, boy, that was really great. So here's some big college or a professional runner. What do you mean great? I can beat that by 20 times. No, it's well for where he is. See, well has a meaning attitude depending on a lot of circumstances. Well here is what is well before God. What does he consider doing well? So this is what's that. So you were running well. Now, running well, what does this mean? Walking by faith in the Spirit. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Serving one another in love. Persevering tribulation. All these wonderful things. You were running well. And then he says, who hindered you from obeying the truth? So here they are, running well. Not walking, running. I mean, this church is in a momentum. Two questions. What is truth? And secondly, what does it mean by hindering? What do we have going on here? It's a great question. What is truth? What does it mean, obeying the truth? Who has hindered you from obeying the truth? Well, we have to understand what truth is here. Truth is the truth of the gospel. The truth of the Word of God. Obeying is faith. The only obedience that God is looking for is the obedience that is faith. Who hindered you from walking by faith? Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Now, what I like to just stop and draw attention to that who. This is an impersonal reference to the power of darkness. It's all through Galatians. All through Galatians. And refers to Satan ultimately. But we will come, but he will come in many deceptive ways. False teachers, compromise, arrogance, a lot of things that he will do. but who has hindered you. And the word to hinder means to interfere, cause you to stop growing in the knowledge of the Word of God. Verse by verse, word by word, daily, growing in knowledge of Christ. Walking in the power of the Spirit. Spiritual love to one another, in the assembly, in your personal life. All these wonderful things, persevering through tribulation. So, he has ways of hindering you from doing this. Who is hindering you from this? So, we've got to be alert to this hindering. I hate to use this example because I'm afraid I become the one who's hindering, but people working on their diet, working on their health, and boy, they don't take any sugar, they don't have very few carbs and all this stuff, and we go out to eat together and I got a plate of carbs. And they look there and go, oh, wow, well, I think I want some of that. So I've hindered them. Hindering means to interfere with your momentum of what your life is, in this sense, in the spiritual realm. Who's hindering you? And people that are hindering can be a lot of different things. It can be sin. It can be distractions. It can be a lot of different things, as we're going to see. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? See? In Thyatira, we know who this is. It's Jezebel. We'll come to her in a moment. In Galatia, in Thyatira, they were doing it right. Both Galatia Church and Thyatira, they're doing it right. They're running well. Which means they were really moving forward spiritually. Then someone, and in the study of Jude, creeped in unnoticed. I like the way Paul really says it in the Greek. They sneak in. They just kind of work in a way in and become part of the momentum. And we'll notice with Jezebel, she comes in, she's full of energy, and so the pastor, well, you can teach, you know, pretty soon she's leading, and pretty soon there's collapse. But they sneak in. We don't know very much about the incestuous believer in Corinth. We can only imagine he was a believer in the assembly before the incestuous affair started. But it started. He may have already been in and creeped in and bringing in that thinking. Just so many different things we don't really know, but it doesn't really matter. What matters is that he's there influencing the church. So people be warned. When an individual or an assembly walks by the power of faith in the Holy Spirit, the adversary cannot stand it, and he's going to come in. And he's going to do all he can to hinder you or your assembly from running well according to truth. It can be any number of things that will interrupt an assembly from running well. It can be the sin, as in Corinth. It can be doctrine. It can be not walking by the Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, over my years in the ministry, I heard unbelievable things that can cause turmoil in an assembly. Paving the parking lot. Let's pave. Now, we don't have that problem, but if we had our own building, let's pave the parking lot. Yeah, listen. Well, why are we spending the money on the parking lot? Why are we spending it on this? Well, and pretty soon, boom, you got problems. Well, who's going to do the paving? Well, my cousin has a friend that does this. Well, are we going to do it 1 inch or 2 inches? We're going to do it with this kind of material or that kind of material? And then what happens is, it's amazing. Some people get set. Painting the church. We don't have that problem, but painting the church. Boy, you'd be surprised how all of a sudden I want it this color. And they're just stuck on it. And it turns out if you don't paint it that color, they're gone. Yesterday, they were wonderful. But all of a sudden, you decide to talk about painting the church, and now they're gone because you didn't paint it. They're green. So it's just amazing what can do. Choirs are wonderful. Choirs are damaging. Choir robes. Well, I think they should be green. I think they should be red. I think they should be blue. Well, you know, this church, big church over here, said we could have theirs because they're getting new ones. Oh, we don't want any new ones. I want used ones from that. We want to buy our... And boom, pretty soon, there's the preacher, got all these problems. Let's just forget the choir robes. Let's just forget the choir. Now, that's not the solution, but you just reached that point. It's caused that kind of trouble. Yesterday, we were just going along. Choir was singing. We were fine with the painting on the wall. We were okay with the parking lot. But we decided, let's do that. And then all of a sudden, you've got trouble. Unbelievable trouble. It can be wonderful things. I'm so thankful here. And I mean it. I am thankful. I've not heard one negative, not one, from anyone in this church about what we're doing with our young people. The two homes are having them on Wednesday and Thursday night, a camp, a couple of times a year. I've not heard. I can't help but believe that some of people here aren't harboring, why are we doing this attitude? But I'm thankful that they just said, let's leave it alone. That's what they want to do. We'll let them do it. But just, it's amazing what Satan can do in a church. Missions. Well, do we want to support these missionaries or those missionaries? Well, why not my cousin? He's a missionary over there. Why not this? Why not that? Why do we give money to them when we need money for this? And pretty soon you're in these turmoil. These are where you have to learn as an assembly to walk by faith, as a family. You just sit down as a family. Now, are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And you work it out. But you also learn it's not the battle. The painting, the parking lot, the choir robes, these are not the battle. The battle is growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and walking in the glory of Christ, and then badass, it becomes the battle. Because it intrudes upon it. So it can happen. And people, one thing about it, it can happen quickly. Quickly! It can happen that quickly. Yesterday these people were fine, got along, maybe did other things in the church. All of a sudden, boom, trouble. What's going on? Satan is interrupting this church. So this is what's going on in Corinth. Now I think Paul liked Corinth. I think he enjoyed the people personally, two letters, several visits. But they had some big problems. Big problems. We know the Lord loved Peter. But boy, he's talking about somebody's mouth. It's Peter's. Every now and then he would say something really wonderfully profound. Most of the time it was really horribly profound. See? But these are just the things that are going to happen. Now, let's continue in Galatians 5. Let's read verse 8. This persuasion, okay, they were running well, they're hindered, the persuasion of hindrance, Galatians 5, 8. Persuasion not to walk by faith, not to be committed to the study of the Word of God. Persuasion to disobey the truth of the gospel. This persuasion did not come from Him who calls you. So you can just imagine this assembly. And several of them are locked into this persuasion now. Well, this is really important over here. It's not important. Those things are not important. The color of the room is not all that important. Unless somebody wants a psychedelic purple and green. But outside, it's not important. But it becomes important. So this persuasion of causing all this interruption did not come from Him who calls you. That's God the Father. Now a very large principle for Thyatira, for Corinth, and for us, all churches. Verse 9. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Bob George, I like the way he used to say this. He would say, a little leaven won't hurt you. It will kill you. And that's what's going on here. A little compromise. A little arrogance. Compromise in Thyatira, arrogance in Corinth. leavens the entire assembly. What does that mean? It leavens the momentum of the assembly. It leavens the momentum of all the believers. In most assemblies, you've got brand new believers. They don't even understand what y'all are fighting about. You got believers in analogy, teenage believers. You got young people believers and spiritual young people. You got older and immature. And we got to remember, all of these are part of the assembly. All of these things are going on in the assembly. So it leavens the momentum, the spiritual momentum and direction of the entire assembly. So this passage introduces how. How an assembly like Thyatira, doing so well, can all of a sudden find itself in great trouble. You don't want to judge. You want to exhort. That's what we're studying this for. I want to see what Jesus Christ is going to do with trouble in Thyatira. And we will pick up some principles on church discipline from what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, does. Most people prefer to judge. But as we're going to see, Jesus Christ, as head of the church, exhorts and instructs. But we're going to see not everyone is persuaded by sound judgment. So we've got a lot to learn here on church discipline. Let's go back to Revelation 2:20 now. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificial to idols. They have a problem with compromise here. A problem with who they're listening to, who they're following. There is one built-in danger with grace. It's kind of a built-in danger with grace. There's a built-in danger with spiritual love. It's tolerance. Tolerance. We're going to be seeing this in Romans 6:1, where after coming off of Romans 5, they'll just say, well, let's just sin, the grace abounds, because Paul has made it very clear. Grace of sin increases, grace increases the more. Well, then let's just sin more so grace increases more. We're all for grace, let's sin more. That way grace will increase. So this is the type of thing going on here. This is toleration. Often a believer who believes in spiritual love, desires to serve in spiritual love, and have it in their life, will tolerate sinful activity. Tolerate a false teacher. Teacher's not teaching the truth. And they'll tolerate it. Arrogance. Pow. You're in great spiritual trouble. Tolerance of sin. Incest. Homosexuality. Adultery. Pow. Problem. Here in Thyatira, they tolerated false teachers and leaders. False leaders. Now, let me tell you about Ephesus. This would never happen in Ephesus. This would never happen in Ephesus. They wouldn't have put up with Jezebel one day. She would have never gotten in that position. One, because she's a woman and no woman should be over church. That's it. And then when they realize what she's teaching, that's it. You're out. Not for a minute. So Jezebel would have never made it in Ephesus. But Ephesus had no spiritual love. They had, oh, we got doctrine. We got this understanding. And boy, we're not going to tolerate it. We're getting rid of her. See, Satan has so many schemes. Satan plays on wherever you are. If you're real strong on doctrine, boy, he'll use that. Because Paul says in Corinthians, doctrine puffs up. Doctrine makes you arrogant. Become very proud of what you know. See? And the same thing as spiritual love. So remember the severity of what happened at the church of Ephesus. The worst statement made by the head of the church, Jesus Christ, is made to the church of Ephesus. He was coming and was going to remove them from existence. Nothing like that is said of any of the other six churches. And yet, they had all their truth. They were doing all these things. They had no spiritual love. Thyatira, spiritual love, and they're tolerating this sin, this evil. Okay. Verse 20. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Now let's think about Corinth. Corinth, you take pride in the incest going on among you. I'm just showing you that there's just many different problems in each assembly, in each family, in every one of our individual lives. We all have these kind of problems. Attacks that Satan is going to do. He has all these schemes working up. So, Corinth, take pride in incestuous believer. Thyatira, you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess. She calls herself, not God, she calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches, and she leads my bondservants, believers, astray. Astray from what? You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? All right, so what is the leading astray? From the truth. From the truth of walking by faith in the Spirit. From the truth of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that, result, they commit acts of immorality. Now, I'm not denying there may have been physical immorality, but this is religious immorality in context. I'll show you that as we go through it. And eat things sacrificed to idols. That's going to be important in Daniel chapter 1. That little phrase right there, get ready. That's coming up next hour. Daniel would not eat the king's choice food. Now, a lot of people like to say he was a vegetarian. He has nothing to do with being a vegetarian. Nothing whatsoever. It was food sacrificed to idols. So, these are just things that are always going on. Compromise plus arrogance leads to toleration and even pride in immorality, and pride and with idolatry, pride with your tolerance of these things, and you've gone into arrogance, and now we have Thyatira and Corinth coming very close together. All right, let's take a quick look. Woman Jezebel. From the Hebrew, her name means chaste. Her name is a really interesting name. It means chaste. It means untouched. Intact. It means unproductive. Without a husband. People, this one word, listen, can refer to a virgin or a lascivious woman. To refer to either one. It just has that ability. She marked the name Jezebel just as Judas marked the name Judas. You don't run into many Jezebels or Judas today. Think about your school. How many Jezebels, not in person, but by name. Let's be sure we understand that. How many Jezebels did you run into in through school? How many people named Judas? See? So, now, we could talk about Judas, very similar and all, especially in Spanish, but we won't get into all that. We'll stay with Greek and Hebrew and English. Okay. She teaches and leads astray, or deceives, actually, by her teaching, leads my bondservants astray. Astray means to deceive. But from the standpoint of the assembly, the believers, the infinitive denotes result. With the result, her teaching of these believers are leading them astray. I want to remind you, and I'll read it, you don't need to turn there. 1 Corinthians 3:17. If any man, pastor, teacher, renders inoperative the temple of God. Now here they're called bondservants. We're called bondservants. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're called temples of God. So, if any man, pastor, teacher, renders inoperative the temple of God, those are believers, God will render him inoperative, for the temple of God, believers, is holy, set apart. And that's what you are. You're a temple of God. You're a bondservant. We have a lot of different names. And we got to know ourselves by all these names. See? And this is not unlike life. One person could be known as dad, husband, friend, father, son, probably grandson. We have a lot of different things that we've got to be attuned to who and what we are. See? And so this is the case that we're dealing with here. We have to realize we're temples of God, set apart to be holy. We're bondservants of Christ, set apart to serve Him. Okay? That you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself prophetess. Now, Paul has made it clear that no woman should take over a local, teach over a local church. But since she calls herself a prophetess, they allowed her to come in and teach. Oh, well, she says she's a prophetess. See? But this is what happens. So they let her come in and teach because she claims to be a prophetess. And she teaches and leads my bondservants, your temples, and your bondservant. Know who and what we are. And each by each thing that we are, we're sons in Christ. We're friends of Christ. Got to understand all the things that we are in Christ. See? She teaches and leads my bondservants. So you got to know who you are and pursue that. Live that. Leads my bondservants astray. What is astray? Astray from what they should be doing. It's like running well. Who hindered you? Paul uses the word hinder there. Here he leads, Christ uses the word astray. They're both the same concept. From the truth of the Bible. From the truth of walking by faith in the Spirit. From the truth of growing in the knowledge of Christ. So that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Or we'll come in 4 Corinthians, of course, to when they're having the Lord's Supper and all the horrible things they do there. And we'll learn in the previous chapter in there about how we do not involve in those things sacrificed to idols. Okay. One of the dangers of living by grace and spiritual love is toleration of sin, tolerance of sin. If one teaches grace, he'll probably be accused of teaching sin. If one lives by grace, he'll probably be accused of sin. And the same danger in regard to spiritual love. We gotta know what spiritual love is. We gotta know what grace is. Grace does not tolerate sin. Spiritual love does not tolerate sin. It deals with it, but it doesn't tolerate it. Grace and spiritual love often leads to tolerance of wrong or even of evil. However, the local church at Corinth were not only tolerant of incest, they were arrogant about it. So we have compound problems in these two assemblies. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, the woman Jezebel. No woman should ever run a church. But they have allowed this in Thyatira. Not in any of the other six churches, but in Thyatira. Compromise to get along, to attract more women into the church. She says she's a prophetess. All these things. People, Satan tries to infiltrate any local church, especially those that are running well, in any way that he can. We must understand this. It's important to remember he has a multitude of schemes for taking down an individual, taking down a local assembly. I would like you to turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. This is important in our study. Second Corinthians chapter 2. Let's note verse 11. in order that no advantage be taken of you or taken of us by Satan. For we are not ignorant of his schemes. And people, let me just tell you, we're not talking about here the government outside the church telling them what they can and can't believe. We're not talking about the bartender at the bar down the street. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about someone in the assembly. These are the ones that Satan uses. They may be believers, they may not be believers. You're going along. Well, why don't you come to our church? And we have this great singing, we have this, we have that, we have these things. And pretty soon, okay, so someone leaves sound teaching and goes to where the teaching is not sound. But they're involved. It's just so dangerous. In my 39 years in the ministry, it's just been over and over. How many times have I seen young people taken away to another church because of a skirt or because of a guy, and also some brought in because of those things? It's just Satan's going to use whatever he can to distract us, to get us out. And God will use some of those things to attract us. Look at Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's note verse 11. Coming off of 2 Corinthians 2:11, in order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. Verse 11 of Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. People, we have to know his schemes, and he's got them. He's got the schemes. A con artist, that's what a con artist is. He has great schemes to get your money, great schemes to get you to do what he wants. This is the old idea of the wolf for a woman. He has his schemes. Satan has schemes. And people, what is genius about him, he knows you. He knows where you're vulnerable. He knows where you hurt. He knows where you'll be happy. Things that make you happy. Things that hurt. All these things. And he'll work on them. So Ephesians 6:11, put on the full armor. You get some at salvation, some you have to put on the full armor of God, that you may be able, in order that you may be able to stand firm, not fight, stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Not fight them, stand firm against them. Church discipline. We could say we want to get rid of everyone that isn't what we want. He'll use that. We want to tolerate everyone, so we keep everyone. He'll use that. Well, then what do? If we don't get rid of them, we don't let them. People, this is where we're going to come into our study about church discipline. What do we do? Are we just going to have a statement we're going to get rid, and then we have our list of those we're going to get rid of? Or are we going to, tolerate everybody? So what are we going to do? Satan has marvelous schemes. Now look at verse 12, Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Do you see what I want you to get out of verse 12? It's not just Satan. He has an army. He has an army. And if he's not there personally, he's got his army there. In a local church, doing it right. In an individual's life that's doing it right. In a married couple's life that are doing it right. He's got armies. And they're going to go in to do whatever they can to destroy, to hinder, to stop you from, hinder you from running well. And then to even, as in Thyatira, to cause you to go into idolatry. Leave the momentum of the truth. So our battles against the powers of darkness, can you see them? No. All we can see is this incestuous believer. All we can see is this Jezebel. Are they the battle? No. It's what Satan is doing. We're going to have to look at this incestuous believer and look at Jezebel through different eyes. And that's why I'm turning to this passage. I want you to see what Jesus Christ is going to do to this Jezebel. Because it's so important in regard to church discipline. Satan has many schemes to neutralize a local church. In Corinth, it's arrogance. In Thyatira, tolerance, compromise. Laodicea, content with themselves. We're just content. Don't bug us. We're content with everything. Everything's nice. In Pergamum, accepting the false doctrines. He's just whatever it is. The dragon has many schemes. He uses false teachers, false pastor teachers. He uses women. He uses the basic instincts of people to bring about sin or to bring about self-righteousness, legalism, arrogance, pride. He can work so well. He works us so well. That's why we have to be in the filling of the Spirit at all times. At all times. The local church is not just for the well, people. The local church is a hospital for the sick. Jesus Christ came for those who didn't need a doctor. He came for those who were sick. Same thing with the local church, people. The sick should be here. It's a hospital. It's a spiritual hospital. Where will they go if they don't come to the church hospital that's teaching truth? But this does not mean they're put into service. It does not mean their life is condoned. It does not mean that influence is tolerated. But where are they going to go? Where are they going to hear the truth? So there are just so many things that the Holy Spirit can do here. Now we come to Jesus Christ's message to the church of Thyatira that concerns us directly with church discipline. First and foremost, I want you to note what Jesus... go back to Revelation 2 now. Back to Revelation 2. The first thing I want you to note is what Jesus Christ does not say to this Jezebel. What He does not say to her. He does not immediately thrust her out. You're out of here. He does not immediately get rid of her. Christians are notorious for shooting one another. I mean, we're notorious for it. Sometimes this happens by accident in war, but Christians do it on purpose. They just raise their tongue in fire against one another. Christians are quick to judge, quicker to separate themselves, throw the bomb out, and then be proud of what they've done. Not Jesus Christ. Many take pride. Many are arrogant about how fast they get rid of a fellow believer, as the Corinthians. As in Corinth, not as the Corinthians did, because they didn't do it, but as in Corinth. They're proud about their arrogance, about welcoming sinners, getting rid of sinners. It works both ways. There's an arrogance, we get rid of them right away. There's an arrogance, we tolerate them and let them stay and encourage them in their lifestyle. Both are wrong. Both are, they're both wrong before God. I'm sorry. Many think it is about them. It's about me. I got to keep pure. People, it isn't about you. It's about this incestuous believer. It's about Jezebel. And then it's about the assembly. How are we going to deal with these people? That's what we're dealing with. How you treat others. How you treat unbelievers. How you treat one another. People in a spiritual realm is from your view of God. This is what God would have me to do. Get rid of you right now. Separate from you right now. That's God. My view of God? No, just tolerate it. Just you can do whatever you want. That's fine. What's your view of God? And we're looking at the head of the church here. See what he does. Here in Thyatira, some would have her stay and be proud. Some would want to immediately cast her out and be proud. In Corinth, they were arrogant about keeping the incestuous believer. But maybe some would be arrogant about quickly getting rid of him too. Keep ourselves pure. We got to keep ourselves pure, so we got to get rid of this. People, you're not pure, clean, or impure, or pure by those kind of things. It's by your relationship with the Holy Spirit. People, we have to learn a lesson from the cross of Christ. We have to learn a lesson from the love of Christ as head of the church here. So many Christians are concerned about keeping themselves pure and shooting other Christians. That's not keeping yourself pure. They're filthy inside, filthy with arrogance, pride. So let's see what the head of the church does here. Here's a woman, false teacher, liar, calls herself a prophetess, false teaching, teaches and leads believers into idolatry and ceremonial immorality. How much worse can you get? Surely such a one should be kicked out immediately and separated from immediately. Well, let's see what the head of the church does. First, he gives her, treats her in grace. Look at verse 21. I love it. I gave her time to repent. Wow. People, I mean, we've got a profile of a horrible woman here, doing horrible things in this church, all in the area of the spiritual. And what does he say? I gave her time to repent. Let's see if we can slowly develop a gracious procedure of church discipline and build on our procedure here. What to do in difficult times when a member in a local church. All right, first, what's the first thing? From 1 Corinthians 5, we do not become arrogant. That's the first thing you want to do. Garrison your own soul. Do not become arrogant about sin, about what is going on, about what you're going to do about it, all these kinds. Don't become arrogant. That's the first thing. It reminds me of the old thing when you're on a plane. And parents, put your oxygen mask on first before you start wrestling with your children. Well, wait a minute. I love my children more than me. Yeah, so you don't have yours on. Your child is just in its fear or whatever, slides under the sea. You're down there trying to help them. You both are out of oxygen now, and you're both dead. Oh, boy, you really love them. You make sure you're stable. Make sure you got that good, clean oxygen breathing. And then you can get under the seat, put theirs on, and spank them. But whatever else you want to do. But the point being is, you secure yourself. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. When a fellow believer is caught in any trespass, okay? You who are spiritual, take care of yourself first. Take care of yourself before you go start helping or judging or dealing with somebody else. Be sure you're in line with the Word of God and with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is, no arrogance. Second thing we learn from 1 Corinthians 5, go into actions of mourning, which includes prayer. Prayer for the one causing the trouble. Prayer for the assembly for wisdom and guidance. We don't know really what to do. What do we do here? Let's pray. Let's talk about it. This is horrible. This is really a horrible thing. We have an incestuous believer here. We have allowed this woman to teach us and lead us into ceremonial idolatry and all these things and lead us astray from the truth. Why? How did we get here? But let's don't worry with how we got there right now. What are we going to do about our current situation? Let's pray about it. Third, someone, this comes from Matthew, someone, two or three, goes to this one, talks with them, In the case of Jezebel, no longer a teacher, no longer a leader, but you're not kicked out. But you go and talk. Lay it out. What's going on? To the incestuous believer, to Jezebel, to the troublemaker, to whatever. Take two or three, you go and talk with them. And then fourth, from our study here, time of repentance. Time of repentance. After talking with them, give them the time of repentance. Think about it. Time to change their minds about what they're doing. Think about it. How did I get into this? As an incestuous believer. Jezebel. How did I get involved in this false teaching? Give them time to work through. They've got a lot to work through themselves. So they to go through and change their mind about what they're doing. No, she can't teach anymore. She can't lead anymore. We have no indication that the incestuous believer was in any kind of leadership. But take then just talk to them, and then you give them time. That incest is an abomination to God and is hurting this assembly of believers who have enough to battle as it is. Her claiming to be a prophetess and her teaching, false doctrine. Give them time to repent. How much time? How much time? One day, that's it. One day, one afternoon. We talk to them in the AM, better make up their mind by the PM. 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, 1 decade. What? How much time do we give them? We'll start here next Sunday morning. How much time? We got a week to think about it. Any questions over this morning? Okay, Father, how grateful we are for this word. Because sometimes, Father, we just get into situations that we just don't even want to be part of it. Don't know how we ended up here, but we're here. And we need your wisdom. And James tells us to ask for wisdom. But Father, we pray that you'll continue to guide us through our study, church discipline. And as we make out the platform for this assembly, that Father, your Spirit will guide us, putting all these things together. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.